all the things only thought or, you know, fantasy can now somewhat become reality because we've got this capability through the higher speeds of 5G, the ultra low latency that 5G provides, as well as sort of the increase network capacity or the ability to connect more things than we've ever been able to connect before.
This is a Security Weekly production. Security Weekly is a resource of Cyber Risk Alliance.
The Cybersecurity Collaborative and WIS is proud to present CISO Stories. Each week, CISO Stories takes a deep dive on security leadership with one of the contributors to my latest book, the best-selling CISO Compass, Navigating Cybersecurity Leadership Challenges with Insights from Pioneers, as well as from other top CISOs and security thought leaders. The Cybersecurity Collaborative is a unique membership community enabling cybersecurity leaders to work together in a trusted environment. To learn more, visit securityweekly.com/CSC or visit cyberleadersunite.com. I'm your host, Todd Fitzgerald, and this week we welcome Tim Youngblood, SVP, Chief Security Officer, and Product Security Officer for T-Mobile.
I was first introduced to cybersecurity as a very young man, thanks to a movie called War Games. And for those old enough to remember what that is a movie about a hacker who almost started a nuclear war. So that was exciting to me, just some of the things I saw that, you know, was capable, you know, through the manipulation of technology and understanding the importance of securing it. And little did I know, you know, at that young age that, you know, I would continue to pursue that as a career. And to this day, every time War Games comes on, I have to watch the whole thing and, you know, explain to my kids what a whopper really is.
So were you as a kid, were you fascinated with the part of starting the nuclear war or stopping the nuclear war?
I was fascinated with the aspect that it was possible that some kid could do that. But also, I think just the importance of being able to stop and be responsible too. I think that was a big lesson in that movie. If you watch the whole thing.
Very, very nice. So today we're going to talk about something that's, you know, new to a lot of us is 5G in cybersecurity and some of the other new technologies that have been coming along lately. So since you're with T-Mobile, you obviously, you know, are immersed in the 5G conversations, I'm sure. So paint the picture for us a little bit. Tell us about, you know, why we should be thinking about 5G.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's actually one of the things that attracted me to come to T-Mobile. And the company, of course, has been around, you know, for decades, but has been growing and expanding its capability in the arena of 5G and is now really considered the 5G leader. They have the biggest footprint of 5G in the globe for the most part. And some of the capabilities that 5G is providing us is really pushing us into what the next generation, I think, of what our society is capable of. If you think about some of the earlier iterations of the Gs, you know, 3G gave us more structured texting, 4G made, you know, the ability to actually look at videos, you know, on a mobile device. It helped bring in the generations of Uber and Facebook. And 5G is going into the next realm. And I think it is the thing that is really going to ignite the things we see in the metaverse, in, you know, AR, VR capability, and all the things that I think, you know, we've only thought or, you know, fantasy can now somewhat become reality because we've got this capability through the higher speeds of 5G, the ultra low latency that 5G provides, as well as sort of the increase network capacity or the ability to connect more things than we've ever been able to connect before.
So what is it, you know, what is the, like, the difference as we look at like 4G and 5G in terms of, you know, this performance or bandwidth? What does that look like?
Yeah, I mean, you know, 4G is in this arena of LTE, which I think we all have heard of. I mean, 5G is basically double or tripling the speeds of this, right? So one of the main advantages that T-Mobile is taking, you know, a part of is now replacing the cable connections for companies. So we provide high speed internet access via 5G. So no longer will you have to rely on a cable connection to get to, you know, all of your internet capability. So our high speed, you know, internet offering has been increasing by 1 million subscribers every quarter. And so the reliability of this is huge. And you can imagine in the future, you'll be able to take your internet connection with you wherever you go, right? And, you know, you'll have this one box and you put that down, connect it to your, you know, display devices, and you'll have the same type of experience you would at home anyway.
And I know I've seen some of the competitors, the other offerings as well on 5G. And I've just always wondered, you know, they always say, you know, when you're on a video call, for example, you know, throughout the pandemic, that, you know, you should have a wired connection because your Wi-Fi is going to have a bad experience for you. And so, you know, we still have that mindset. Do we have that same concern with 5G that, you know, that if we don't have the cable that we're plugged into, that we're going to have issues with that?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I was at a dinner last night. I met actually one of, you know, what I consider a trailblazer in the area of innovation theory, Jeffrey Moore, the author of Crossing the Chasm. And was talking with him, had a chance to have dinner with him. We were talking about, you know, just kind of the next wave of innovation. How do we get there? And I talked about, you know, one of the things that we're doing here at my company, at T-Mobile, is I'm in a pilot right now. We're working with some of the high-end hardware providers and laptops. So I've got a laptop that is a 5G laptop. And it is always connected. And I can tell you, as I've traveled around the country, the experience in being always connected is just a completely different world. You know, I don't deal with crappy hotel Wi-Fi anymore, right? Or trying to figure out how do I get connected in an airport. Those days are gone. They're completely gone with this type of technology. And the fact that it is a end-to-end encrypted technology. So you think about how you would, okay, I need to have a VPN, I need to have this. That is so 1990s now that you have a 5G connection, because you're doing that, you know, through one of the most protected channels that's ever been invented.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is pretty incredible. I know I have 5G on my phone, and it's kind of nice that I don't have to worry about getting a good Wi-Fi connection. I don't have to worry about the security as much. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about security. With this being, you know, fairly new, what sort of security concerns are there with 5G as we enter this world?
Yeah, I mean, you look at sort of the architecture of, you know, 5G environment, right? And you've got devices that are sort of the endpoint, right? Which still need the same type of protections we've always required of them. I think now, you know, we evolved into this whole EDR, XDR space, but you still need to have kind of the same, you know, level protections and expectations of what you allow those devices to connect to. From there, you go from what's called the radio air network or RAN environment, which connects in the devices in, and then that goes to a backhaul, and then the backhaul goes to a 5G core, and then eventually to whatever services or cloud environments you may have, right? And so, you know, it's important to make sure that the configuration of those devices are in alignment with the expectations of the rest of that architecture. And, you know, some of the sort of arms of organizations that create the standards around this have looked at 5G as being a an adopted model that is secure by design, and focusing on secure by design principles that are mutual across sort of the back ends of the system. So that that connection between the RAN environment and the backhaul and the core, you can rely on that. That is absolutely secure and connected. And you can rely on some of the connectivity of the connections outside of that as well now with 5G. And so you've got, you know, encryption of the subscriber itself, which, you know, prevents exposure of, you know, very sensitive identifiers. You've got the ability to have secure interconnections with the secure edge protection proxy that's sort of built into this. You've got, you know, the ability to verify location and roaming, you know, as a subscriber and authenticate requests in a secure and validated way. And then you sort of have some built-in mitigations in there as well. So some of the issues that, you know, I think 4G, you know, opened up, and there are vulnerabilities in 4G that are inherent to come into 5G, but as long as you're, again, following those secure by design principles and your devices are appropriately protected, you mitigate, you know, almost all of those issues now.
The article this podcast is based upon can be viewed in the best-selling cybersecurity leadership book, CISO Compass, Navigating Cybersecurity Leadership Challenges with Insights from Pioneers.
So are there configuration issues, since it sounds like there's a lot of different components that have to connect together? Do we have a risk with configurations in those environments?
Yeah, I mean, it's important, you know, again, to understand, of course, the provider that you're working with, understand what their security capabilities are, and that they're using, you know, actual 5G, right? So there are some providers who will say they have a 5G, you know, ready network, but it's not actual 5G, right? It's, you know, 4G plus, you know, or LTE plus or something like that. And so all those security capabilities that are inherent in 5G are not in that.
And how do you tell that then?
Well, and it's you have to do the research with the provider that you're with, more or less, because the marketing spends on these are really deep. And I won't call out any providers on this project,
sure.
But there are some that have definitely labeled themselves as a 5G, and they'll use very specific words, ready network versus the actual 5G network.
That term is taking me back to the TV sets that were cable ready. going way back into what does that actually mean?
Yeah, exactly.
So is a CISO that is, you know, they're managing their environments, everything's going along fine, and there's a knock on my door, and it's hey, you know, it's the network guys, they want to upgrade to 5G. What kind of questions should I be asking?
Well, you want to understand, you know, what parts of the environment are going to have reliance on this new network. You know, are you turning your whole environment into the proverbial Starbucks, right? And then from that perspective, you need to understand, okay, do I as a CISO need to make sure I'm ready for a zero trust environment, right? And in that sort of zero trust architecture, I mean, you've got to have, you know, the awareness and the understanding of the profile of your endpoints and applications, you know, to work in that type of environment. You've got to understand sort of the classification aspects of the assets and the data, and whether they're following the protected policies that you have in place. If you were to put all of it in the streets, you know, would you actually be able to, you know, secure and ensure that you have the same protection as if it was behind, you know, a set of standard firewalls and other things, right? And then I think just the enforcement aspect of it is kind of the third piece, is understanding the agility of being able to enforce the boundaries if you're going to have 5G in place. You know, where are my boundaries as a system that I need to be responsible for versus what, you know, this provider who's going to provide this to me is doing. And so it does change the conversation a bit. And it kind of reminds me years ago where, you know, we started to give up a little bit more responsibility to content management companies like Akamai, and, you know, started to trust them to actually, you know, provide things like DDoS protection, you know, that if we were to give them that kind of access and ability to host, you know, some of our services, that we would be losing as security officers, but understand how are they actually providing the same protections.
With the network slicing, I guess that's inherent in 5G, do we have a increased risk of DDoS attacks?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things that, you know, you've got to, of course, be aware of, because, I mean, you're allowing a bigger capacity of connections in your environment, right? So, you know, you got to look at what your environment is going to look like, you know, 5-10 years from now, when you have every sort of IoT device sort of riding on this network. And then what's the capability to control, you know, that capacity to understand what the trends are that are happening on the network and identify attacks like DDoS, you know, that may be prevalent. So, you know, because, you know, you're dealing with, you know, all these higher sort of data rates, and you're dealing with, you know, the bigger network capacity, that's still an issue that doesn't go away. But 5G does, because of its lower latency, you have real time sort of ability to understand what's happening within that network better than you did before.
So in terms of like headcount to manage these environments, does that start to grow, or is that similar to what we've needed in the past?
Yeah, I mean, I think it changes. I mean, just like what we've seen with trying to manage an environment on-prem versus off-prem, you know, if you're giving more of that responsibility off to a provider, you likely don't need as many people, right, to manage, you know, the same type of capability that you had before. Or those people are sort of shifted into other areas, right, that are higher importance, that, you know, maybe are more downstream. For example, you know, focusing in on the secure SDLC environment of your applications, right, which may, you know, create exposures in on the device side of that environment, right? And so I do think that will change, you know, just as it does as companies, you know, push more into the cloud.
Is there guidance that's coming out around 5G? Is like NIST put together documents, or are the frameworks, are they catching up to this technology?
Yeah, I mean, there are industry bodies that are focusing on this. CISA has a report out specific to 5G on expectations that, you know, you should really, you know, have in place if you have a 5G, and risk, you know, from their perspective that you should look at, you know, and I think it's kind of inherent in the direction that the whole industry is going. You know, we have just more and more of this, you know, remote workforce, right? That's inherent, right? That has changed the reflection of what, you know, our infrastructure and networks are. We have, you know, way more heavier reliance on these third-party networks than we realize, right? And we've been tending to kind of, you know, piece it together with sort of end-to-end VPN to some degree. You know, from my perspective, again, if you're working with a reliable provider, you know, you're inherently making your environment safer, right? Because you're ensuring that that connection has all the right type of security that you need, versus relying on, you know, whatever, you know, your end employee has, you know, set up as their connectivity back into your environment.
So are you saying, like, with the remote environments, would companies start extending their environment into the home environment and providing that 5G access?
Yeah, potentially, because you could look at that as, you know, a way of a more secure authentication, right? And, you know, ensuring, you know, that connection. And I definitely see, especially since, you know, we're getting into this whole high speed internet and providing these basic, you know, basically their routers directly into the environment that, you know, you may, you know, start to allocate those out to employees, right? To ensure that, hey, I know they're going to be connecting from the home from a secure, you know, connected device, right? And it's, there's no in between there. It's directly into the network that I know the security and I know the capability of, and I can get some information on what's happening there versus, you know, the other way around.
So do you see, I guess I'm just envisioning that I've got my own home network, my own home office here, but now with my company, now I've got the little box that is sitting there and I'm on that network. I'm on the 5G network that's totally separate. Is that what you're envisioning?
Yeah, absolutely. Because 5G is going to provide you that strong, you know, cryptography that you need and mandate, you know, security specifications and things that just you don't get in untrusted Wi-Fi connections, right?
Mm-hmm. What are some of those applications if I'm a CISO in my company and I want to start proposing, how can we leverage this technology? What are some of those things that you're seeing 5G being used for?
Yeah, you know, right now the use cases continue to expand. Of course, the one I talked about earlier with the 5G connected laptop is a great use case, and you know, the ability to be connected anywhere, anytime without having to rely on unsecure Wi-Fi. You know, we're seeing use cases of you know, augmented reality, and we've got you know, a partnership with you know, some companies that are high end in the space where we're starting to see more and more you know, enterprise customers start to rely on that type of technology to train their employees. You know, for example, you know, my previous role, I was with a quick service restaurant, and that restaurant with you know, hire 1 million people a year, and then they would also let go 1 million people a year because of the trends in the business, but they needed ways to quickly train these people. And so now you're starting to see companies like that rely on, you know, AR, VR technology to train their people quickly. And they need, you know, secure connected ways, you know, to do that.
So those are, do you get your pink slip through the same VR?
The virtual VR pink slip.
that would be a terrible use of the technology, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think I would just go off and like, I'm going to play games now. So. Yeah.
I think so. So this has been great, Tim. I always enjoy talking with you. And so what advice would you give as we close out here to current CISOs, experienced CISOs, you know, emerging CISOs as they go down this journey and they're looking at 5G?
Yeah, I would say, you know, start to invest and look at, you know, cybersecurity mesh architecture, you know, look and understand sort of the posture of your native cloud apps, you know, where are they today? You know, what is the architecture of your, you know, security service edge? And, you know, what are opportunities maybe a technology like 5G can provide you? And then just all the overall sort of SaaS security posture management, I would say, you know, take a strong look at those things, because I think, you know, as we continue to evolve, we go down the future, we start to take advantage of this new technology, this new era, you know, those are going to be key areas that we're going to have, you know, very consistent and, you know, strong controls around. And we need to understand how we're going to, you know, connect our environments today into those environments of the future. And those are the pieces that you need to know.
Mm-hmm. And the business is going to be demanding that, right? Because you're going to have the person who sees this in a magazine while they're on their next airplane ride that says, hey, we can do all this with 5G. And it's going to be on us before we know it.
Yeah, absolutely. And even that dinner I was at last night, and I was telling people about the 5G laptop use case, I had three people ask me, how can I get on your pilot? So,
yeah, wow, that's great. And we all know, even, you know, generational, that if we look at where things are today, it's, you don't get onto the internet, right? You just expect it to be there. And so it seems like this is taking us down that path of always being there and being everywhere.
Yeah, it really is. It's interesting today because now living out in Seattle, I use Alaskan Airlines quite a bit. And T-Mobile has a relationship with Alaskan Airlines where, you know, if you're a T-Mobile customer, you can actually get free Wi-Fi while you're on the plane. And so it's amazing. Like I flew from, you know, Seattle all the way out to Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and I was connected the whole time. And, you know, I was connected in the airport with the 5G laptop. Then I got on the plane and I'm still, you know, I'm on conference calls. It's like I never left the ground, actually. So there's a new level of productivity that is coming, you know, in front of us. And I think we're going to have to find new ways to disconnect now because the ways that we used to disconnect are not going to exist anymore.
And it's interesting because I fly to Europe a lot, and there's a certain airline, which I won't name. They just acquired two new planes that are actually 30-year-old planes from somewhere else, and they don't have Wi-Fi on them. And they know this, and they know this when you book the trip. And the last time I was on the airplane, they gave me a $50 voucher. Not having Wi-Fi for a 7.5 hour trip. And it's like, this is not a fair trade. You know, this is not a fair trade at all. And so we've come to expect those things. And now we, you know, consumers are going to demand them in many different places.
Yes.
Well, yes. Well, thanks, Tim. It's been wonderful talking with you. And, Thanks for everything that you're doing in this space.
Thank you, Todd.
WIS is on a mission to help every organization rapidly identify and remove critical risks in their cloud environments. Purpose-built for the cloud, WIS delivers full-stack visibility, accurate risk prioritization, and enhanced business agility. WIS connects in minutes using an agentless approach that scans both platform configurations and inside every workload. We perform a deep assessment that goes beyond what standalone CSPM and CWPP tools offer to find a toxic combination of flaws that represent real risk. To learn more about WIS, please visit securityweekly.com/WIS.